would like to offer you this afternoon a copy, if you will, of God's precious word. It is the most wonderful gift that one human being can give to another. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away, Jesus so tells us. It's the word of God, it's an extract from the Bible, yours to take, do with as you will, but maybe perhaps as you read it, God will reveal himself to you in his glory and grace, and you will come to a knowledge of his salvation, forgiveness that is of your sins, and the assurance, of course, of one day a home in heaven. So it's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation. I guess on a sunny day like this, nobody wants to hear a person speaking about death. In fact, I think maybe any time at all with you is not a suitable time to speak about death. It's something that we would rather brush under the carpet, ignore. You know, it's something that happens to other people, but not to us. You know, that's how we deal with it. We don't like to, we try to bury things that we don't like and don't like to talk about. You know, and then some people, of course, now, today in our modern society, they would say to us, well, it's just it's a natural part of life, natural process. You're born, you live, you die. Happens to everybody. It's just natural. No, it's not. It's not. It's a very impudent intervention into God's creation. You see, in the beginning, when God created man in his own image, God never intended that man should die. Man was not born with the threat of death, or created rather, I should say, with the threat of death hanging over him. He was created in the image of God. If your first parent Adam had never sinned, he would still be alive today. But he's not, because he sinned. You see, the Bible reveals to us the origins, not just of the human race, the world, the universe, all that and more, but you see, the origins of death, where it came from. It came as a result of one man's sin. His name was Adam. He was a real person. He lived and he died. But he died because he rebelled against God. He loved his wife more than he loved God. He was put to the test and he failed the test. And the result is, because he was the head of the human race, the result of it was that well, death has passed to us all, to all men. And so now we are all stuck with death. Bible says, has a lot to say about death, don't you know? But God says in his word in the Bible, for instance, he says that those who hate me love death. Can you see that in your society today, as it becomes more secular, more atheistic, more godless? There's a growing hatred for God and a greater love for death. Now we are fighting to have people killed at the other end of the spectrum. Not happy with abortion in their millions, the slaughter of unborn defenseless infants, but now we want to take it to the other end of the scale. We want to slaughter people who are terminally ill before the disease takes them, and people who are aged, no doubt, you know, So death, you see, you've got it everywhere, all over your face, as we say, in your modern atheistic society. The proof, you see, of God's word that it's true, that what he says is just and fair, those who hate me love death. You see, those who love God, on the contrary, they love life and they fight and they struggle to protect life. In, of course, obedience to God's commandment, you shall not kill. You see, people, that's why we're opposed to abortion, euthanasia, any form of taking of human life, because it's a fact that is, of course, from judicial means, because you see, it's God's soul and sovereign life, sovereign right. He gives, he has the right to give life and the right to take it, and he only. It's not the right of any government or any part of society, or the medical fraternity, or anybody else, to dictate when a person's life shall end. And then there's something else the Bible says about death. It says that the way may seem right to a man, but the end of it is death. And that, of course, is the way in which, outside of Jesus, that's the way in which you all walk. You see, in the way of death, this world in which we live is a valley of death. You know, you've got it everywhere you look. Aeroplane tragedies, earthquakes, famine. You know, it's all over your world, just as it's all over your newspapers and news bulletins. Death everywhere, because you see, we walk in the way of death, the way of sin. You see, may seem right to you, may seem good to you. Young person says, you know, I just want to live, and goes off into the world, forgets about God, forgets about the Bible's teaching, all that he or she heard in Sunday school or in the youth class, maybe. Abandon God, off into the world, just want to live, you know? And off they go to the nightclubs, and they do the drugs and everything else that their peers are doing, because they don't want to be seen to be out of sync, you know? If your pals are doing sex, then you've got to do it. If they're doing drugs, you've got to do it. You know, led astray like silly old sheep, just the way God's word describes us. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We don't take much leading, do we, in the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the way might seem right. You're looking for life, but you don't find it. All you find is death and destruction. It may seem right to you, it may seem right to you to go contrary to God's word, the Bible. It may seem right to you to embrace evolutionism, but it's the way of death. Talked to a young man in Newcastle just a while back now, but he was a very learned young man. Oh, he had been so well taught in matters concerning evolution. I think he was a sixth former, very pleasant young man. Oh, we talked for the best part of an hour and could get nowhere with him. So I said to him in the end, I said, "But son," I said, "that's nothing but despair. There's no hope in that." And he looked at me seriously and he said to me, "You're right, you're right." He says, "But it's all we've got," he says. "There is no hope. There is nothing but despair." Now, people, it may seem right to you to obey, to embrace, that foolish notion, that myth of evolution, because that's all it is. It's just a myth. It's just a fairy tale. Even your scientists, you know, that you put so much trust in, they don't agree among themselves, and they're changing their minds just as much as anybody else is. You know, they're not infallible. You know, they have They may sound like clever men, they may be clever men, but you know, they know nothing save really what they ought to know. And that is that the way that seems right to a man, the end of it is death, you see. It may seem right to you, you know, to abandon God, to abandon His Word, and to take the things of the world, society, you know, go with the crowd, you know. It may seem right to you to go with the crowd. Well, the majority, you know, the majority of people are against the gospel, are against Jesus, against Christianity in our society today. So I'm going to go with the crowd, following the sheep again, you see. And it may seem right to you, it's popular. Just because a thing's popular doesn't mean to say it's right. There have been times, occasions in history when a man has courageously had to stand on his own against the whole of society. There's a man called Martin Luther. He was one, time of the Reformation, some 400 years ago or more. And he had to stand against the whole world. But in the end, of course, he was proved to be right, and the world was proved to be wrong. Because Martin Luther was standing upon the principles of God's Word. So you see, people, the way may seem right to you. It may seem right. Appearances can be very deceiving. We live in a day when appearances are so, so important to folk. Images, how you look, is more important than what you are in today's society. You know, if I was to present you with a man who was, you know, had a real care for the people of England, who was a man of integrity and honesty, never told lies, he's gifted, he's clever, he's the right man to be our next Prime Minister. If he was ugly, you wouldn't vote for him. Why? Because the image is more important to you than the person, what they truly and really are. You see, there's a way that seems right, appears to be right. Appearances can be very, very deceitful. Not how the person looks, not your perception of them, what they are really, truly like. There is a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it, the Bible says, is death. But there's another way of which the Bible speaks, and that's the way of the cross. I mean, the cross where Jesus died for ungodly sinners. That's the gospel, the very heart of the gospel, the good news. You know that Jesus died for sinners to rescue us from the way of death. The punishment is due to us because of sin. But the way of the cross, you see, when you get to the cross, you know, I don't mean physically, I don't mean really. I mean in God's Word in the Bible, read for yourself, study it, meditate upon it. The way of the cross, people, you see, it's so informative. It tells you so much, yes, about the love of God, doubtless, but not just that. It tells you about man's sin, because the Son of God had to die on that cross in order for us to be saved. And then, of course, you know, it tells us too of man's inability to save himself. If you could be saved by being religious, if you could be saved by being good, by being respectable, pulling yourself up by the bootstraps, well then Jesus, the Son of God, would not have needed to die, but he did. He had to, because there was no other way. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin and unlock the gates of heaven and let sinners like you and me in. Jesus had to die. So the cross tells you, it speaks about your sin, all men to be sinners, and only one way by which we can be saved, the way of the cross. You see, it's so informative. the cross speaks today loudly and clearly. And it wasn't done in a corner. It was done before the whole world. And that cross still shines down the corridors of history today, speaking of salvation, God's righteousness, man's sin. But it speaks to people about the wrath of God, the holy displeasure of God. We don't like to hear about that, but you gotta do, because I tell you, He is. He is smoking, I tell you, with modern Western society. It is a shocking place that we've come to, and the evidence of God's wrath is before us all over, writ large over our society today. But you see there at the cross, there you see the full-blown extent of God's wrath, His displeasure against sin. You see, we're all accountable to God. No, you don't want to be, but you are. Can't be helped, you know, it's the way it is. It's the way that a sovereign God made things, and there's no good you arguing and beating your gums about it. It's the truth that matters, and God has revealed this to us, that we're all sinners accountable to Him, and if we don't get dealt with, if we don't get done, then we are done for, and I mean done for. Because that wrath that was poured out upon Jesus, the Son of God, unless He takes your wrath, unless He takes your punishment, well, you have to take it yourself. He's an advocate, Jesus. You know, He's an attorney. And you know, every client that He takes on, those who employ His services by faith, I tell you, in God's courtroom, He not only defends them in the most excellent way, but the end of the case is that He, Jesus, walks out of the courtroom and takes the punishment of the sinner upon Himself. And you won't find an attorney like that, an advocate like that, here in Stoke-on-Trent. Only people, Jesus, only He can get you off the rap. You see, He was there dying on the cross. He was there taking the punishment of the sinner, dying for sins that He had not done. Are you a thief? Jesus died for thieves. Are you a murderer? Jesus died for murderers. Are you a drug artist? Are you a peddler of dope? You see, Jesus died for all kinds of sinners. You put your trust, you put your faith in Him, what He did on the cross. That's why I speak about the way of the cross, because the way of the cross is the only way to redemption, to salvation, the only way to forgiveness, the only way out from under the wrath and displeasure of God. So you see, you get under that cross, you know, read for yourself about it in the Bible, and gaze and see the Son of God dying for lost sinners, for a lost mankind, walking in the way of death. He took that death upon Himself that you might have life, and that you might walk in the way of life. You see, there are two choices given to you. Two ways are opened up to you. The way of obedience is the way of life. The way of disobedience is the way of death. You see, choose for yourself which one you will take, God says. But the way of life, people, eternal life, this is what I came for, Jesus says, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So, which will it be for you? The way of death seems right to you, but it's the way of death, or the way of the cross, the way the Savior took in order to bring forgiveness, pardon to you, redemption. and in order that you might know eternal everlasting life. This is eternal life, Jesus says, that they might know God and Jesus Christ, whom he sent. Knowing Jesus, you see, is the ultimate. We're not talking again about religion. We're talking about a person with the ability to save you, forgive you, put life into your soul. That's the deal. At the cross, there Jesus took the eternal damnation that was due to the sinner upon himself in order to give them eternal life, that which was his. Oh, you see, people, the life is there for the taking. The life is there for the having. Instead of the way of death, the way of life. Life abundant, life eternal, life everlasting, that just never comes to an end. The opposite, you see, to your evolutionary doctrine of despair. You know, that ends up in utter hopelessness. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, the way of life, you see, is the very antithesis, it's the very opposite to your evolutionary misery and despair and hopelessness. The way of life, people, yes, even for somebody who's terminally sick, who's looking death in the face, physical death. You believe in me, says Jesus, though you die, yet shall you live. Because that life never comes to an end. It's eternal, it's everlasting life. Goes on and on forever. But of course the opposite to that is, if you disbelieve, if you reject Jesus Christ, then you're faced with everlasting and eternal destruction. You see, the choices are put before you, the way of death and the way of life. Which will it be? There is a way that might seem right to you, might seem right to you, but the end of it, God says, is death. You need to make sure it's the right way, the way of righteousness, the way of life, the way that leads to life. And Jesus himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, there's no other way you can come. No other way that you can obtain life. No other way it can be given to you. Only Jesus can give it to you. Muhammad can give it to you. Allah can give it to you. Buddha can give it to you. Mr. Hindu can give it to you. Only Jesus can give it to you. It's an exclusive message. It excludes all other religions. Only Jesus, the Son of God, who came into the world to die for sinners and rise again from the dead, to defeat sin and death. And people, rising from the dead, he's alive, and that forevermore. And those who believe in him, trust in him, have that eternal life within them, and it wells up within them to eternal, everlasting life that shall never end. Oh, you see, the answer to the death problem is to repent, is to turn from the way that seems right to you, and to turn to God's way, which is right. You see, it's only in the Bible, it's only in God's Word, that these things are revealed to you. That's why we hold Bibles in our hands when we speak to you, because we want you to know, realize where it is that we're coming from. Not our own thoughts, not something that was dreamed up by the church, but that it was God-given. His God breathed out word, every single word of it. You can put your trust in it, trust your soul to it. And you see, people, it's for all kinds of sinners. It's not just for goody-goodies. It's for baddie-baddies too. It's for those who have gotten it wrong and know that they've gotten it wrong. It's for those who have offended God. It's for those, people, all kinds of sinners, you name the sinner, and I tell you, Christ took that sin, all kinds of sin upon himself there on the cross, dying in the room, dying in the place of the sinner, that when you put your trust, your hope in Jesus, I tell you, you will never be disappointed, never put to shame, says God. That's his promise. That's his promise, comes to you from the God who does not lie, and who bids you this afternoon, believe, believe, only believe, all that's required of you today, only believe, says Jesus. If you can, everything, all things are possible to the one who believes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. It's faith, you see. So the way that seems right to you, the way of death, the Bible says, the way of the cross, that's the place of enlightenment. And of course, that inevitably, when you embrace that cross, and the one, of course, who died on that cross, well, that leads to the way of life. You want life? You say, I want to live and live my life to the full? Then give it to Jesus. Give your heart and life to Jesus. And he, believe me, will transform your personality for the better, your life completely and wholly. And people make you fit and ready not only to die but to live forever throughout eternity. So I bid you, I ask you this afternoon, think, people, think. Think with a Bible in front of you. Think in the way that's right, and think of the way that you're taking and where it's going to end up. People, believe, trust in the Lord Jesus, you shall be saved. You'd like a copy of God's Word to take home with you and read for yourself, see that these things are so. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious soul.